Robin Olivera was born and raised near Albany, New York, but now lives outside of Seattle. She earned her BA in Russian, then continued her studies at the Pushkin Language Institute in Moscow. After returning from Russia, she worked for years as a registered nurse. In 2006, Robin received an MFA in writing from Vermont College of Fine Arts. Her debut novel, My Name is Mary Sutter, received numerous awards for historical fiction. Now she's written I Always Loved You, a recounting of the tumultuous and passionate relationship between Mary Cassatt and Edgar Degas, a novel that brilliantly captures the Belle Époque in Paris. Welcome, Robin, and thank you for stopping by the Book Report.
Oh, thank you for having me, Elaine.
What drew you to the story of Mary Cassatt and Edgar Degas?
What drew me was a fact I learned when I was on a trip to Paris, and that was that at the end of her life, Mary Cassatt burned all her letters to Edgar Degas and all his letters to her, which she had retrieved her letters to him just after he died, kept them and then burned them. And that intrigued me because all her other letters to friends and family survived. So I began to wonder what happened between them, and that was the kernel of the story.
Tell us how they met.
They met because Edgar Degas, who was sort of the de facto leader of the Impressionists, heard that Mary Cassatt, whose art he admired but whom he had never met, heard that she was rejected from the Paris Salon, the big Paris art show. And so he begged for an introduction from a friend, and he went to see her and invited her to join the Impressionists, the only American artist ever invited by the Impressionists to join them.
Talk for a minute about the Paris Salon. Who made it up and who decided who could exhibit their paintings at the show?
The Paris Salon was the yearly art show put on by the École des Beaux-Arts, which is the School of Fine Arts in Paris. It was run by the state, essentially, and it was a juried show, and the juries were generally academic artists. And the academic art in Paris at the time, surprisingly, was very strict. And the Impressionists were breaking out of that mold, and the Salon was furious with them. They started to reject every Impressionist who submitted to the Salon. The ones we love now, Renoir and Edward Manet and Claude Monet. And that was sort of the beginning of the Impressionist movement.
And tell us more about that group. For example, we all know about Monet and his home in Giverny. And were they successful? Were they starving artists?
That group was varied, interestingly enough. Some of them were starving. Claude Monet and Auguste Renoir were fast friends in the early 1870s and late 1860s. And they were literally starving. Monet moved out of the city of Paris just so that he could start a garden in order to feed his family. Others were more aristocratic. For instance, Berthe Morisot came from a fairly aristocratic family. Her father was high up in the government in France, and money for her was not as much as an issue. Edgar Degas came from a very aristocratic family. In fact, the spelling of his name used to be separated with a small D, D-E, and then a capital G-A-S. And the problem that Degas faced was that his father lost all his money in a bad venture supporting another son. So Degas went from a very aristocratic family with lots of money to, in fact, a starving artist. So across the spectrum, you had every kind of class and economic social level.
Describing Mary early in the book, you wrote, she'd been trying for half her lifetime to find her soul, and still she hadn't. Tell us more about Mary's early struggles with her art.
Well, Mary Cassatt came from Philadelphia, from a sort of a highly placed mercantile family, and she started studying in Philadelphia and rebelliously then moved to Paris against her father's wishes. She was not allowed to join the many ateliers in the city of Paris because she was a woman. It was restricted to men. There was one atelier where women were accepted, but she found the whole system rather restrictive. So she, being the independent soul that she was, traveled to Italy and Switzerland and Spain and found mentors outside of the system. She did what a lot of people did then, which was copy the masters, and it was in the copying of the masters that you were supposed to be able to devise their secrets. But after 10 years of this, with an interruption for the Prussian War, she had to go back home because Paris was under siege. She crafted she cobbled together an education for herself, which was unconventional.
I was fascinated to read that Mary was actually friends with Abigail Alcott, the sister of Louisa May Alcott. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely true, yes. Abigail May Alcott, she was called May, but I had to change it in the story because Mary and May together was impossible for people's eyes to differentiate them.
Yeah.
Lived in Paris as an art student, just like Mary Cassatt, during the years that I write about in the book. And she even wrote a guide for Americans who wanted to come to the city of Paris to study art. She told them what to buy and where to live and how to get into the art studios. She had a minor literary success to her sisters.
Huh. Share a bit about the relationship between Manet and Berthe Morisot. Berthe actually married Manet's brother?
Berthe did marry Edward Manet's brother. Now, some people might not be as familiar with Edward Manet as they are with Claude Monet. Edward Manet is widely considered to be the initial rebel that started to shake things up in the 1860s. And Berthe Morisot knew him because she was starting to paint then, too. And if you read her diaries very closely, you'll see that she fell into a depression and she was in love with Edward Manet. But Edward Manet had married someone else very young. And so she was mourning the loss of her love for him. And her mother, who was getting really exasperated with her, arranged, essentially, a marriage between Eugene Manet, Edward's brother, and Berthe Morisot. And the odd thing was is that the brothers almost looked like twins. So Berthe Morisot was in this very uncomfortable position for much of her life.
We're speaking with Robin Oliveira on the Book Report. How did the relationship between Edgar and Mary evolve? Were they ever married?
Edgar Degas and Mary Cassatt never married. They never married anybody else either. And Mary Cassatt was ambivalent about marriage. She saw that if you married as a woman, you would most certainly get pregnant, and then your life would change. You'd never be independent again as a woman. And so that tugged on her, which is rather ironic considering the fact that later in her life she became known for her mother and child pictures, which depicted a family life that she never achieved for herself.
You know, I've always wondered, and perhaps you can shed some light on it, what was behind Degas' fascination with ballet dancers?
That's a very interesting question. His father, aside from being what turned out to be a very poor banker, was a musician, and he loved music. And Degas spent his childhood with musicians in the home in the evenings. You know, back then there was no television, and so their evenings were spent in one another's houses. They had these what they called evenings, and so somebody would take Monday night and someday Tuesday night, and they would go around to one another's homes. And a feature of the Degas evening were extraordinary musicians, and his father took him to the opera. And I think it was a childhood love that then extended to painting the ballerinas, because back then it wasn't just ballet, it was opera and ballet together, and the ballet dancers would dance in the opera. So it became connected, and I also think he just had a love of beauty, you know.
Well, are you already at work on your next novel?
I am. I just recently finished this, but I am. I know what's going to happen, and I'm eager to get into it. And just as a hint, I'll be spending some time in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Oh, all right. Well, readers, I want you to know that this was a very compelling story, and I want to thank you so much, Robin, for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All righty.